إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 11th session reading from Ashur, Qawa'id fi Tazkiyat al-Nafs. 10 Principles Concerning Purification of the Soul by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, it is our intention to look at the final principle, that is the 10th principle that the Shaykh has mentioned. However, due to the time that we have between Maghrib and Isha, and the length of this particular principle, it's the longest of all of them, then perhaps we're going to look at the first part of it, which deals with the three characteristics or the sifat of the nafs. And then in the next session, next week, inshallah, we look at the two examples that the Shaykh gave that explain what we're actually dealing with in terms of how to handle and discipline and control and benefit from the nafs. So inshallah, probably we're going to take it in two parts, and probably, almost definitely, that's what I see right now. So before we go into the topic for tonight, let's quickly look at some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide number 10. First question being, outline the first 8 qawaid or principles related to purification of the nafs. Number 1, al-qaidatul ula. Number 1, na'am abdul haq. The tawheed is the foundation upon which souls are purified. Al-qaida thaniya. Na'am abdullah. That supplication is the key for purification of the souls. Al-Qaida Thalitha. That the noble Qur'an is the source, the foundation, the spring from which Tazkiyah comes forth. That's number 3. Al-Qaida Rabia. Naam Tariq. Doing as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, taking example, ittikhaz al-uswa wal-qudwa from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following his example, taking him as a role model. Number 5, al-qaida khamisa. Now, did you already give one? No, somebody else. Who else? Now, Sharif. Tazkiyah is through means of two things. Removal, takhliya, and then adorning yourself with better qualities and characteristics and deeds, and tahliya. Number 5, right? Number 6, al-qaida sadisa. Who didn't give us one yet? Sadisa, naam, khatib. Closing off the pathways that, are the means through which a person is taking outside of the process of tazkiyah, and through which a person is tub'iduhu, distanced from virtuous deeds, and tuqi'uhu fi ar-radhail, caused to fall into evil, low, despicable characteristics, qualities, and actions. That's number what? 6? Naam, Abu Tariq. Number 7. Huh? Yes, naam, the remembrance of death. Remembering death and liqa'illahi azza wa jalla. Remembering death and remembering the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah. Keeping this in the forefront of our minds. Remembering death and remembering the meeting with Allah, the day of accounting. Day of accounting. Naam, number. Wait a minute. How many did we say? Eight?
Seven.
Oh, yeah, one more. Okay, number eight. Yani, al-thamina. Naam, Abdul Karim. Choosing friends, being selective, yani, in choosing your friends, companions, associates, the people that you spend time with. Naam. I just want to say that the reason why we're repeating these qawaid from week to week is so that we don't forget them. Yani, by the end of the time, we forgot the first one, right? So we're just trying to remind us, because these are very important principles that we have to live with every day. So at least we should be reminded of them. We should remember them so that perhaps, yani, we'll try to implement them bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Question number two mentioned al-qaida at-tasiyah, the ninth principle related to purification of soul. Ninth principle, ninth, at-tasiyah. Now, Murshid. Okay, what about amazing with oneself? Naam. Staying away from, avoiding, yani taking precaution, huh? Al-hadr.
Yeah, al-hadr min al-hadr min al-utbi.
Naam.
Naam.
Yani beware, take precautions, protect yourself from, yani, being conceited, vain, vanity, huh? From being, yani, over-evaluating yourself, thinking you're more than what you are. And also from deluding yourself, self-delusion. Question number three. Memorize the ayat in the 53rd surah, 32nd ayah, in which the author, Hafidhullah, uses to support this ninth principle. Yani, what is the ayat that the Shaykh used to support this principle? Ibrahim. Now, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ, meaning? Do not claim purity for yourself. Don't attribute to yourself, yani, purity, righteousness, piety, perfection, yani, that you're better than others. Naam. Because Allah knows best, yani, who has taqwa. Yani, Allah knows best who has taqwa. Whoever ascribes to themselves piety and righteousness and purity, yani, if they tell the people, so what is the benefit? Because the people can't give you anything anyway. The benefit is that it's with Allah, and Allah already knows better than we know ourselves. So no need to ascribe to yourself, yani, purity, piety, righteousness. Now, discuss the author's explanation of this ayah, including the reasons mentioned by the author for this prohibition. What is the explanation of this ayah and the reasons for this prohibition that the Shaykh mentioned in the book? Naam, Abdul Haq. And met in nafs, naam.
بِمَنْ
حَصَلَتْ MashaAllah, Ahsant. Okay, so the explanation of this, yani, he said that, the Shaykh said that Allah has prohibited in this ayat, prohibited people from praising the nafs, praising themselves. Huh? And the reason for this is because what? Walaikum salam. The reason for somebody else. The reason for this is what? Because taqwa, yani, that which a person wants to ascribe themselves is in the heart. The place of taqwa is in the heart. And Allah knows best who has achieved taqwa. Allah is the one who knows best who has achieved a taqwa. And also from the reasons for the prohibition of this, because praising the nafs causes a person to, yani, to become amazed with themselves, to become pleased with themselves, to become, to admire their own self. And secondly, also he said, because also it's a cause for riya, it causes riya, which nullifies your deeds. Anyway, we talked about it last week, so we can't do it again. But this particular point is so important. Naam. Question number five, memorize the supplication which the Prophet ﷺ taught Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to recite in his salat. What was the supplication, Ya Umar? Naam.
Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira
طيب. And the meaning of it, somebody else. What's the meaning of this? اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا. I have wronged myself, يعني greatly, يعني ظلما كثيرا. نعم. كبيرا, and some of the narrations, كبيرا and كثيرا. Now, it came both ways. ولا يغفر ذنوب إلا أنت. And there's no one. I have committed against myself ظلم, wrong, against myself, by sins, by sinning. That's the ظلم that you do to yourself. And there's no one who forgives sins except you, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Forgiveness from yourself.
Naam.
And have mercy upon me. Indeed, you are the most forgiving.
Naam. So therefore, because yani, I have wronged myself, and there's no one who forgives sins except you, therefore, I'm asking you to forgive me and have mercy upon me. Indeed, you are the one who forgives, and you are the one who is most merciful. This is a tremendous supplication. Honestly, I don't think anybody should imagine that they are without need of it. If you can't memorize in Arabic, just learn the meaning. That's better than not saying it at all. We are in need of this supplication. And the Shaykh, in the next question, he explained why. What discuss the point which the author intends to make by this mention of the hadith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What is the point that the author intends to make by this? Ya Mustafa.
You know, Abu Bakr is one of the best Sahabas. The best
Naam.
Of the people after the Prophet and Messenger.
Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the best of humanity after the Prophet and Messenger.
And even though this is a fact, and the Prophet still taught him after Siddharth.
And still, even though he's the best of humanity after the Prophet and the Messengers, when he asked the Prophet ﷺ to teach him a dua that he could say in his salat, this is what he told him to say. He told Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and the best of humanity after the Prophet and the Messengers, the Siddiq of this ummah. He told him to say, O Allah, indeed, I have wronged my own self. Definitely, certainly, I've wronged myself a great wrong. Then if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, if he's taught by the Prophet to say this supplication, what about everybody else? Anybody else? What's the affair of anybody less than him? And that's everybody else. How much more then are we in need of this? So this is a supplication. If Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was in need of it, then we are in need of it 1,000 or 100,000 times more. Whoever doesn't imagine that they have wronged themselves, they're in delusion. That's what we mean by delusion. That's real delusion. Naam. Question number 7. Memorize the ayat 23rd Surah Surah Al-Mu'minun, 60th ayat 2360, about which Aisha radiallahu anha asks if it referred to those who drink, yani alcohol and steal. What's the ayat that she inquired about? Naam, yeah, Ibrahim. Naam. What is the meaning of this ayat? Somebody else. Give us the translation. Yani walladina, yatuna, huh?
Those who get what is required of them.
Those who have been given whatever they have been given. Naam.
At the same time, they are stay careful of Allah.
And while they are doing that, while they are doing the good deeds, whatever they are doing, they are fearful. Their hearts are in fear because
that their deeds might not be acceptable to Allah.
Because they are returning to their Rabb. Because they are returning to Rabb. Yani annahum ila rabbihim raji'un. Because they are returning to their Rabb. Yani their hearts are in fear because they are returning to their Rabb. Naam, you came with the answer, but before that, we'll just get the ayat, because this is ayat, when Aisha radiallahu anha, when she read this ayat, this is a question. She wanted to know, what is the meaning of this? So here, discuss Aisha radiallahu anha, her question, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam response to it, explaining what it was they feared. Yani why were their hearts in fear while they were any doing good deeds?
ويتصدقون وهم يخافون ألا تقبل
نعم الحمد لله ما شاء الله يعني عائشة رضي الله عنها, she was asking the Prophet ﷺ about this ayat, Yani, are these people who were doing some good deeds, but their hearts were in fear of the return to their Rabb? Yani, they're counting Yawm al-Qiyamah. Was that because these people were drinking alcohol? And because they were stealing? Yani, they were doing some good deeds, but probably they were doing a lot of sins. That's why their hearts was in fear. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no way, O daughter of Siddiq, yani Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. In fact, these were people who were fasting, and they were praying, and they were giving charity. And in spite of all of that, they were in fear of what? That their deeds would not be accepted. This is tremendous. They were in fear that their deeds would not be accepted. So even though they were doing good deeds, that wasn't enough. It wasn't because they were committing zina and adultery and committing... No, it was because they were in fear that maybe their deeds were not accepted. And the people today are not even in fear that their sins, that they will be called to account for. They're not even thinking about their good deeds. They might not have any. They're just not even worried about their sins. And this also requires some reflection. This hadith requires some reflection. Now, question number 9. Memorize the statement of Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika, rahimahullah, and discuss its significance to this principle. The statement of Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika, naam, Waleed. Naam, the meaning of it, somebody else. Yeah, and he said, Ya Umar.
He said that I met more than 30 companions of the Prophet, and they were all fearful of themselves, of being a hypocrite.
Fearful of nifaq. They were fearful of nifaq. Naam. I mean, that's how he said it, okay? Yani, he said that he met more than 30 of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and every single one of them was in fear for himself of nifaq. I don't know. Okay, so what is the significance of this statement? And what is the significance of this statement in reference to our topic? Naam, Murshid. They fear that some of their deeds might have been mixed with something that opposed, that was in contradiction to al-ikhlas, sincerity. Naam, pure ikhlas, naam.
And we know that those were sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sahaba, we know them are good people who
naam.
Good deeds. So even with that.
So the significance is that if these were the best of people, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were the best of people, and they were in fear that perhaps some of their deeds might have been corrupted or polluted or mixed with something other than pure ikhlas. So they were in fear of this. Yani, they were fear upon themselves that perhaps some of their deeds, yani, might not have been accepted because of the nifaq al-amali. Yani, something in their deed that wasn't purely sincerely for the sake of Allah. Naam. And also that they were fearing for themselves. They were not trying to look for somebody else to blame it on, to reflect it on. They were looking at themselves. Naam.
So that he was saying Tabi'in, and he was meaning Sahabas.
Naam. He was from the second generation of the Tabi'in.
So it is illustrated that this was the way of the Salaf.
Naam. This was the way of the Salaf. Naam. The way of Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the people who came after them following their way. Naam.
Uh-huh.
They didn't allow it to cause them to become amazed with themselves, to become conceited, to become vain, to think that I'm over, I made it. Rather, they were afraid. No matter how good they were, and they were the best of people, what about everybody else then? What kind of example is that then for us? What kind of example? And just because a person is doing good deeds, there's no guarantee that the deeds are accepted. So a person has to be in fear, not just of their sins, but in fear of their good deeds maybe not being accepted. And the last question discussed the statement of Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, contrasting the mu'min and the munafiq relative to this point. What was the statement of Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah? Shuaib. Amnan. And also, this is a tremendous statement. please like reflect on it a little bit. Oh, the meaning of it. Somebody, meaning of it. Naam Abdul Haq. He's contrasting the difference between the mu'min and the munafiq. Naam, the mu'min. Ihsanan, Shafaqatan. Yani that the mu'min, he combines these two things. He does good deeds and he does them well, and at the same time, along with that, he's in fear of standing before Allah. And the munafiq, he combines his poor deeds or his sins or the deeds that he did poorly, along with, even though he didn't have anything of good to offer, and he feels safe. He's not even worried at all, even though he hasn't done anything. This is the difference between the mu'min and the munafiq, and this is also a lesson for us to think about. And whatever good that we think that we have done, or that we are doing, or that we do all the time, don't imagine that you're safe. Rather, the people who are better than us, they didn't feel safe. They were in fear. Yani companions of the Prophet ﷺ, from the best of humanity, and even from the best of the companions. Yani Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, he mentions that from those companions that Abdul ibn Abi Mulaika rahimahullah met, were from amongst them were Aisha radiallahu anha, and her sister Asma, and Salama, and Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the four Abadila, yani Abdul ibn Umar, ibn Abbas, ibn Zubair, and ibn Amr ibn al-As, ibn Abdul ibn Amr ibn al-As. These people were the people that he met, and these were the kind of people that were in fear. Then what about us today? This is something for us to think about. May Allah protect us from becoming vain, from vanity, from being conceited, from self-amazement, from self-delusion by some little bit of good that we may do. How much time before the adhan? I don't have a watch today. 20 minutes? Allahu musta'an. 38 minutes is better. Thank you. I said that then. I was going to take your word over everybody else. It sounded so good. I understand. No problem. Inshallah. Tayyib. No problem. Tayyib, today, inshallah, we're going to be reading in the English translation from pages 37 to 39, or at least starting on page 37. We might not read all of them. Is that what it is? I'm sorry. No, wrong. I'm looking at the wrong pages. Page, okay, yeah, page 40. This qaida is on pages 40 to 45. We're maybe only going to read just the first couple of pages. In Arabic, the pages that we're going to be reading from for this qaida is from page 37 to 43. But like I said, probably we're only going to be reading the first couple of pages. And this qaida, al-qaida al-ashiratu, al-qaidatu al-ashiratu, yani the 10th principle, it is ma'arifatun nafs. Yani knowing, being acquainted, being familiar with, being aware of the nafs, knowing about it, having knowledge of the nafs. And the Shaykh, he made it in two parts. The first part, are the three sifat of the nafs. And the second part are two examples about the nafs. Okay, and today we're going to look at those three sifat, the three qualities. He said, ma'rifat al-nafs. وَمِمَّا يَتَحَتَّمُ فِي بَابْ تَسْكِيَةَ النَّفْسِ مَعْرِفَةُ حَقِيقَةِ هَذِهِ النَّفْسِ وَمَعْرِفَةُ صِفَاتِهَا لِيَسْهُلَ الْاِعْتِنَاءُ بِهَا وَرِعَايَتُهَا وَمُدَاوَتُهَا مِنْ الْآفَاتِ الَّتِي تَطْرَأُ عَلَيْهَا. Yani, from that which is yatahattamu, yani yajibu, yani incumbent, essential, concerning the topic of purification of the soul, is ma'rifa, knowing the reality of this nafs, haqiqat al-nafs. And if this is of the greatest importance, in terms of tazkiyat al-nafs, you have to know the nafs itself. You have to know it. What is this nafs? How does it work? How does it function? What are its characteristics and qualities? And knowing, yani, the nafs, it's the reality of the nafs, and knowing its characteristics or qualities, so that it will be easy for you, yani, or to make it easier for you to care for it, to attend to it, to give it the proper attention, and to treat it from the afat, yani the amrad, that yani may afflict it or befall it. knowing the nafs and knowing its qualities, its characteristics, will make it possible for you to attend to it the way it needs to be attended to give attention to it, to give care to it the way that is necessary, and to treat it from the sicknesses that may befall it. وَقَدْ وَصَفَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى النَّفْسَ فِي كِتَابِهِ الْكَرِيمِ بِثَلَاثِ صِفَاتٍ مَشْهُورَةٍ مَعْلُومَةٍ وَهَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ رَاجِعَةٌ إِلَى أَحْوَالِ النُّفُوسِ وَهِيَ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has described the nafs. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. Yani what better way than to know the nafs, to know the reality of it and its qualities and characteristics, except from the Creator Himself. He has described this nafs in His noble book with three characteristics which are mashhura, which are what? They are famous, they are well known, and they are ma'aluma. Yani they are famous and they are known to everyone, almost. وَهَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ. And these characteristics or these qualities of the nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the Qur'an, they all go back to, they return to, they relate to أحوال النفوس, the states or the conditions of the souls. Yani the different conditions of the soul. What condition is it in? What is its state? Is it in a good condition or a bad condition? And these yani characteristics, which all relate to the condition or the state of being of the nafs, they are, the Shaykh says, as follows. Number one, النفس المطمئنة. يعني النفس المطمئنة, يعني the nafs that is مطمئنة, meaning that it is at rest. It is يعني tranquil, at peace. It is يعني comfort, in comfort, it is comfortable. It is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. النفس المطمئنة, يعني the nafs that is in a state of comfort, satisfaction, contentment. وَهِيَ الَّتِي, and the Shaykh gives a description here, which is very, very brief, but it makes it crystal clear. And some of the scholars have given detailed explanations, and we may look at some of them, but here, if you understand what he has said here, is sufficient, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani, it covers it clearly. What is النفس المطمئنة? هِيَ الَّتِي اتْمَأَنَّتْ بالإيمان وذكر الله تعالى وعبادته وحسن الإقبال وحسن الإقبال. The nafs al-mutma'inna, the heart that is, or the soul that is at rest, that is satisfied, that is content, that is pleased. It is the soul that is content, that is satisfied with iman. Yani, if you have iman, there's nothing more satisfying, nothing that you can be more content with than that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with iman. This nafs is content with iman. It doesn't need more than that. It doesn't look for other than that. That's sufficient. Yani it's like a person who has a good spouse. I say spouse, right? Because it could go either way. And they're content. And maybe somebody comes and says, oh, I found somebody very good, better, this, that, the other. That's okay. Go somewhere else. I'm good. They're content. They're at rest. They're satisfied. They're pleased with their condition, with their state, with their situation. I want to give another example like this, but I better not. I'll let that be sufficient. Huh? 10 minutes, no problem, inshallah. So, yani, this nafs is content with iman. It's content with the remembrance of Allah the Most High. Yani, it's content with remembering Allah. The remembrance of Allah is sufficient. The soul is at rest. It's at peace. It's tranquil. It's satisfied. It's pleased in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the point here is, right, that every one of us have to look at ourselves. Are we content with this iman that we have? Are we content that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman? Are we content when we are engaged in the remembrance of Allah in the morning or in the evening or any time of day or night? Are our hearts content with this? Satisfied, at rest with this remembrance of Allah? Yani, al-nafs al-mutma'inna is the nafs that is content, satisfied, pleased with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is content, it is satisfied, it is at rest when it is engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you're fasting, when you're praying, when you're reading Quran, when you engage in the worship of Allah, your heart is at rest, your soul is at peace, you're tranquil, you're good to go. Yani you don't need any loud music, or any soft music, or any good movies, or a favorite television program. Because the nafs, al-mutma'inna, is good to go with the remembrance of Allah and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is satisfied with, yani, ibadatihi wa husn al-iqbal, yani, with the drawing near to Allah, doing those things that bring you near to Allah in the best way, in the best manner possible. Husn al-iqbal, yani, turning back to Allah, drawing near to Allah, trying to get close to Allah, the nafs al-mutma'inna is good to go with this. And then the Shaykh, he mentions two ayahs from the Quran concerning an-nafs al-mutma'inna. Wallahu musta'an. We're going to look at it just a little bit. Yani he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ra'ad, 13th Surah, 28th ayat. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَتْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Yani those who have believed and their hearts are content with the remembrance of Allah. Is it not so that in the remembrance of Allah, hearts find rest, satisfaction, contentment, pleasure? Is it not so? That's a fact. Their hearts find contentment in the remembrance of Allah. What kind of hearts? قلوب المؤمنين. Naam. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says that this, يعني الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله تطمئن قلوبهم أي تطيب وتركنوا إلى جانب الله وتسكنوا عند ذكره وترضى به مولا ونصيرا. الحافظ ابن كثير رحمه الله he said what? That those who believe and their hearts are at rest with the remembrance of Allah, it means that their hearts find pleasure, تطيب, in the ذكر of Allah, that their hearts find comfort and assurance in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in nearness to Allah, and their hearts are calm, at rest, yani, engaged in the dhikr of Allah, and that they are pleased with Him, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as their mawla and as their nasir, as the one who is their guardian over their affairs and the one who is their helper and supporter. This is the nafs al-mutma'inna that's referred to in this ayat. And Shaykh al-Sa'di said, an-nafs al-mutma'inna here in this ayat, tatma'inu al-qulub, bidhikrillah, he said that their worries and their anxiety and the disturbance that they may have been subjected to is removed, it dissipates, and it is replaced by happiness and delight when they are engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bidhikrillahi tatma'inul qulub, yani isn't it so that the hearts find satisfaction, contentment in the remembrance of Allah? Rather, Shaykh al-Sa'di says, that the hearts, yani the hearts of the believers, do not find contentment, rest and satisfaction in anything other than the remembrance of Allah. Because there's nothing that is aladhu lil qulub, qulub al-mu'mineen, nothing that is more delightful, or ashhad, desirous, or ahla, or sweeter, than the love of their Creator, and the intimacy with their Creator, and being acquainted with Him. And it is to the extent that a person knows their Rabb, and has love for the Rabb, to that extent they will be engaged in remembrance of Him. And the more that you know your Rabb, and the more that you love your Rabb, the more you're going to be engaged in remembrance of Allah. So if a person finds themselves not engaged, yani frequently, often, regularly, consistently, continuously in remembrance of Allah, it has something to do with you don't know your Rabb, or you don't have love for Him. Because what you love, the one that you love, you think about all the time. The more you love them, the more you think about them. Then what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثِلَ الْعَالَى. And there's no comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the scholars said, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَذْمَنُ الْقُلُوبِ. Yani the hearts of the believers, this is in reference to the hearts of the believers, that they find contentment and satisfaction and pleasure and remembrance of Allah. As far as the hearts of the disbelievers, they find contentment in the dunya and the pleasures of this world. And as far as the hearts of the mushrikeen, they find contentment in the remembrance of their idols that they worship. And indeed, the remembrance of Allah, it is a remembrance that's not only on the tongues, but it is also in the hearts. Now, lots of people remember Allah on their tongue. They walk around saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. But the origin of the dhikr is the heart. It's just expressed on the tongue. The origin of the dhikr is the heart. If it's not there, it has no benefit whatsoever. And this remembrance of Allah includes His wa'ad and His wa'id and His perfection and the reading of His book and the recitation of His ayat. After this, the Shaykh mentioned another ayat, that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fajr, 89th Surah, 27th through 30th ayats. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُتَمَئِنَّ إِرْجِعِي إِلَى رَبِّكَ إِلَى رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O nafs al-mutma'innah. Allah describes the nafs here as mutma'innah. He says, to this nafs, yani return to your Rabb, being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him, and enter amongst my servants and enter my paradise. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the nafs, yani that is at complete rest, that is in a state of tranquility, satisfaction and being pleased. And He says to it, yani, to this nafs, yani, return to your Rabb, pleased and being pleased with Him. Yani, this nafs, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir said, Al-Zakiyyatu al-Mutma'innatu wa hiya sakinatu thabita, yani da'iratu ma'al-haq. Yani, the nafs that is pure, that is at rest, that is firm, that, yani, its circumference, or its circle, yani, is, and it is remaining just with the truth, with the truth. Yani the nafs, yani it is only, yani revolving around the truth. And this saying, the scholar said, yani that this will be said to this nafs at the time that a person, their soul is taken, and at the time of resurrection, yani from the graves, and at the times when the, yani when the books, yani the records will be distributed to the people. Naam. And I just mentioned here from Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah, his tafsir, he mentioned something, and the authenticity of it I wasn't able to confirm, but in any case he said akhrajahu ibn Abi Hatim, and rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of hadith, he mentions a narration from Ibn Abbas that this ayat ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, that it was revealed in reference to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, ma ahsan hadha. Yani, oh, how wonderful. What is, yani, more wonderful? What could be more beautiful, better than this ayat that came in the Quran? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ama innahu sayuqalu laka hadha. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, and even if this narration is not confirmed, Allahu alam, yani, no doubt this is true. The Prophet ﷺ said to him that this will be said to you. Yani, not only him, but for sure Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was one of the people promised paradise. After this, the Shaykh, after mentioning these two ayats, he mentions the second quality or characteristic, second sifa of the nafs. And by the way, the scholars of the Sunnah agree that these three are characteristics, that they are not three different souls for every human being. Rather, there's one nafs, and it has different characteristics, and these are the ones that Allah mentioned in the Quran. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Salam alayhi. Salam alayhi. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. بارك الله. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على الله وعلى آله من ولا وبعد. Just quickly, I want to mention, يعني what Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله says concerning النفس المطمئنة. He said, this is a quotation taken from one of his books, إغاثة اللحفان. He says that this nafs al-mutma'inna is the nafs that is at rest. تَطْمَعِنُّ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَالْإِنَابَةِ إِلَيْهِ وَالشَّوْقِ إِلَى لِقَائِهِ وَالْأُنْسِ بِقُرْبِهِ. Yani it is the nafs. And this is for us, yani to look at ourselves. That is at rest, that is satisfied, that is yani pleased with the remembrance of Allah and turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and longing for the meeting with Him. Longing for the meeting with Him. And the intimacy of being near to Him. And the Prophet ﷺ used to pray, and he used to supplicate in a lengthy supplication that's recorded authentically in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i in Shaykh al-Bani, said that it's sahih. He said, إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرْ إِلَى وَجْهِكَ وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَى لِقَائِكَ. What a tremendous dua. That I ask you, O Allah, for the delight, the sweetness, the pleasure of seeing, of looking to your face, and that you grant me success in having a shawq, yani yearning, longing for the meeting with you, yani while you're in this world. Yani the best of this world and the next life. The best of this world is that a person has a longing, sincere longing, for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best of the next life is to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that this nafs is pleased with this, yani with the longing for the meeting and the intimacy of being near to Him. And it is the nafs which will be said to at the time of his death, yani O soul that is at rest, return to your Rabb, being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. وَهِيَ نَفْسٌ قَدْ سَكَنَتْ إِلَى رَبِّهَا وَطَاعَتِهِ وَأَمْرِهِ وَذِكْرِهِ. And it is a nafs that is at rest, that is, you know, content with its Rabb and obedience to Him and His command and His remembrance, and it is not at rest with anyone or anything besides Him. And it is at rest with loving Him, yani mahabbatihi wa ubudiyatihi wa ila at-tasdiq bi haqa'iqi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa ridha bihi rabban wa bil islami deenan wa bi muhammadin rasulan. Yani a nafs that is comfortable, satisfied with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the testifying to the truthfulness of the realities of His names and His characteristics, the names and characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is comfortable and is pleased with Allah as His Rabb, as its Rabb, and with Islam as its deen, and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his messenger. And it's reported from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu in an authentic hadith reported by An-Nasa'i, Ahmad and others, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qala raditu billahi rabban wa bil islami deenan wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasulan. Whoever said this, that I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb and with Islam as my deen and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my messenger, wajabat lahu al-jannah. Wajabat lahu al-jannah. Yani being pleased with Allah as your Rabb and with Islam as your deen and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as your messenger. This is the nafs al-mutma'innah. And the Shaykh, he said, it is at rest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ إِلَاهُهَا وَمَعْبُودُهَا وَمَلِيكُهَا وَمَالِكِ أَمْرِهَا كُلِّهِ فَلَا غِنًا لَهَا عَنْهُ طُرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. It is the nafs that is pleased and satisfied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is its ilah, yani the one that is divine, and its ma'bud, the one that is worshipped, and its king or owner or sovereign, and the one who controls all of its affairs. And it is not free, yani, of being in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even for the blinking of an eye. Yani, at all, in no way whatsoever. Naam. Okay, let's just look at the second characteristic. Next week, inshallah, we'll look at the third one. Just quickly, the second one, the Shaykh, he mentions, يعني والنفس اللوامة. يعني, what is النفس اللوامة? How can we translate this into English? Self-blaming soul. Any other translation? Huh? Self-accusing spirit. What else? Whatever, something like this, right? اللوامة, يعني the nafs, huh?
Self-reproaching.
يعني, the nafs that expresses its displeasure, disappointment, يعني discontentment, disapproval of the behavior of the person when they engage in that which is displeasing to Allah. By whatever way we want to translate it. يعني the nafs that expresses its disapproval, its discontentment, its disappointment with you when you engage in that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, النفس اللوامة وهي التي تلوم صاحبها على فعله الخطأ أو تقصيره في الواجب أو تفريطه في الطاعة. كما قال تعالى في سورة القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. يعني the Shaykh, again he summarized here in brief, he said that النفس اللوامة, it is the one that blames, rebukes, censures, يعني accuses, it's the one who it is within, يعني the human being that it is with, for it's making a mistake, يعني doing something wrong, يعني commission of something that is wrong, or taksiri fil wajib, or falling short in that which Allah has made obligatory upon him, wa tafriitihi fil ta'a, or also, يعني, being negligent of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني, it reminds you, it blames you, it censures you, it rebukes you when you commit something that is wrong. You commit a sin. Or you fall short in that which is obligatory, or you are negligent of engaging in the acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, as Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Qiyamah, وَلَا أُقُسِمِ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَامَةِ, يعني, and I swear by an nafs al-lawama. And this, يعني, ayah is, يعني, there's some difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning its meaning. Is it actually an oath or not? But in any case, يعني, we're going to take the meaning of those who say that Allah, يعني, is swearing by the nafs al-lawama. And, يعني, what we can say about this, يعني, there are different opinions concerning it. Some of the scholars said it is every nafs, and some of them said it is the believing nafs, and some of them have other sayings concerning this. يعني, Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ وَاللَّهِ مَا نَرَاهُ إِلَّا يَلُومُ نَفْسَهُ, that indeed the believer, by Allah, you don't see him except that he blames, rebukes, censures his own self. He says to himself, مَا أَرَدْتُ بِكَلِمَتِي, what is it that I intended by this word that I spoke, or this thing that I have eaten, or this, يعني, thought that I had within myself that I was thinking about it. What is behind it? يعني, questioning everything that one says or does. وَإِنَّ الْفَاجِرْ يَمْضِي قُدُمًا مَا يُعَاتِبْ نَفْسَهُ, and as far as the wicked, corrupt, sinful person, it just goes on going forward unhesitatingly, and it doesn't ever blame or rebuke or censure itself. Yani, this Hasan al-Basri, his opinion is that this nafs al-lawama is the nafs of the believer only. Some of the scholars said, yani, that no, it is for all. Yani, Ibn Abbas, it's mentioned from Ibn Abbas that he said concerning this. Yani, Ibn Qayyim mentions different sayings concerning this. He said, Atta' said from Ibn Abbas, kullu nafsin talumu nafsaha. Yani, that every nafs will blame, rebuke, censure its own self. That is Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Resurrection. Yani, the good doer al-Muhsin will blame itself that it didn't do more good. And the evil doer, the Musi', will blame itself that it didn't turn back from its evil. That it didn't turn back from its evil. So, yani, some of the scholars said that it's every soul that is on Yawm al-Qiyamah, every soul will blame itself. And those who did good will blame themselves for not doing more good. And those who did evil will blame themselves for not falling back from the evil. And some of the scholars said that, and no doubt that's true, But however, yani what we're concerned about is the nafs al-lawwama in this dunya, that you remind yourself yani of what you're doing wrong and be conscious of it. Al-Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he said that all of the different sayings of the scholars are near meaning, but what is yani more closer and more apparent from what Allah has revealed is that yani the nafs al-lawwama is the one that it blames itself, it rebukes itself upon khair and upon shar. Yani, meaning that if it does good, it didn't do enough, and if it did evil, that it didn't refrain from that. وَتَنْدَمُ عَلَى مَا فَاتَ, and it also feels remorse for whatever has passed it by. And اللوامة, yani this word is due to, yani the meaning of it linguistically is blaming, censuring, rebuking, yani a lot, doing it a lot. And this yani will yani not only yani be when it's too late at the time of death, but it also should be yani in this world that a believer yani blames themselves for their shortcomings, for their negligence, and for their heedlessness and unmindfulness. Yani whenever you did good, then it will yani say something about that you didn't do more, and whenever you did evil, yani it will blame you for not yani falling back from that, from doing less. An-nafs al-lawwama. I'm going to stop here for fear that how much time before the Iqamah? Oh, 8 minutes? Well, that's good news. Okay, let me finish what the Sheikh said here then. Let me just finish what he said here. He said, an-nafs al-ammaratu bis-su, yani the nafs that is what? Al-ammaratu bis-su, commanding with evil, that commands one, enjoins upon one to do evil. وَهِيَ الَّتِي تَحُثُّ صَاحِبَهَا عَلَى فِعْلَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ وَارْتِكَابِ الْآثَامِ وَتَقُودُهُ إِلَى مَوَاطِنِ الْمُنْكَرَاتِ وَمَوَاضِعِ الرَّذِيلَةِ وَتَدْفَعُهُ إِلَى فِعْلِ الْقَبَائِحِ وَالرَّذَائِلِ كَمَا جَعَى فِي سُورَةُ يُوسُفْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the Quran, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ, yani, and some of them said that this was the saying of Yusuf, and some of them said it was the wife of the Aziz. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي, yani, that I do not yani free myself of blame. Indeed, the nafs, it commands, it enjoins yani frequently the doing of evil, except whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon them. This particular ayat, and there's a lot of discussion in the books of tafsir concerning it. I just want to like point to something that Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, an-nafs al-amara bis-su, he said, it is due to it frequently, plentifully commanding the person to do evil, yani lewdness and all types of sins, because this nafs is the markab of a shaitan, the one that shaitan rides upon, and it is from this nafs that the shaitan enters upon the human being. Illa ma rahima rabbi, except yani man rahima rabbi, yani ma meaning men here, except the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved from this nafs that commands it with good, such that the nafs yani changes by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to becoming nafs mutma'inna ila rabbiha, yani the one that is in submission to the caller who calls to right guidance and who refuses to respond to the call of the one who calls to ruin and destruction. And this, yani changing, converting from that condition to this one is not something from yourself, rather it is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the scholars said, yani that illa ma rahima rabbi, it means the nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to his mercy, has granted tawfiq to purify itself and to rectify itself by iman and righteous deeds. For indeed, that nafs does not command one to do evil due to its goodness and its purity. For this nafs becomes a nafs al-mutma'inna, and it only commands the person to do good and prohibits the person from evil. The Shaykh, he closes the mention of these three qualities by saying that these three qualities, awsaf al-thalatha, these three characteristics or descriptions for the nafs, هي في الحقيقة أحوال متعلقة بالنفس. يعني these are really states or conditions that are related to the nafs, to the self, to the soul. And for this reason, يعني these states or these conditions may turn over, may change in accordance with what affects that person, the nafs. يعني what you come in contact with or what befalls you or what situations you find yourself in. So that a person might find themselves combining between all of these characteristics in one person in one day, yani in accordance with the condition of their nafs. Yani meaning that a person might at some point in the day find their nafs al-amara bisu commanding them to do evil, and they might find themselves in another part of the day and nafs al-lawwama, yani censuring, rebuking you for what you have done, yani trying to get you back on track, and you might find yourself maybe perhaps yani in the performance of the Fajr prayer, or the Isha prayer, or any other prayer, or in the dhikr of Allah, on the reading of the Quran, you might find yourself content, satisfied, pleased, at rest with the remembrance of Allah. In one day, in one person. These are states of being, conditions of the human being. And then the Shaykh says, and we'll pick up next week here, that the scholars, they have made examples or parables to make us to understand the condition, what is our condition, the condition of the human being with the nafs, and to make it easy for a person to understand this. And he said he's going to suffice with mentioning two examples that were mentioned by two great scholars. And inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will like mention those two examples next week. And the following week, inshallah, we have the conclusion from this course. And the following week, inshallah, we're going to have our yani gathering. We're going to bring some food and have some food to eat together, and also have some gifts given. Naam, ya Imam.